Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with Taylor and Becca and myself, Sandy, and Miss Tara. We are continuing on in James 1, 1 through 12. And we ended last time with talking about our suffering and what comes out of the suffering. You know, it's supposed to be joyful, but God always uses that suffering, if you allow him to bring fruit and to glorify him.
That's exactly right. There's a beautiful example of this melting pot. I'm sure you guys have probably heard about how a silversmith will take the silver in the hard form, mm-hmm. and he'll throw it into the pot, and he will like heat up the pot and make the fire hot to the point where the silver will melt off the minerals, the rock, the debris. And as it is melting, that which is what they call dross, it's the stuff that is not pure silver, will end up rising up, or in some cases, if they're heavy, it'll fall down like the rocks to the bottom. And then the silversmith will take a strainer and he'll strain out the dross. He removes that which does not reflect pure silver. And the more that it heats up and the hotter the pot gets and the silver falling off, and he scoops and he keeps scooping and he keeps scooping, eventually he can actually look in the boiling pot and he will be able to see himself as a reflection in the silver. It's amazing. And that is what is being described here in the trials that we go through, is that James is showing us that as we are allowing God through our sufferings and through our trials, we're allowing him to heat things up and heat things up. And as we had read in Romans 5, 1 through 5, that suffering produces the character, which produces, you know, perseverance, and then which then, you know, hope was perseverance, character, hope, whatever. And it builds up in us so that God then brings to light that which needs to be scooped out. And suffering does that. It reveals to me my heart's not where it needs to be. I don't have to look at anybody else. All of a sudden, I can look inside and I can say, okay, God, I have judgment. I have pride. Mm-hmm. I have, oh my goodness, arrogance. You know, just the things that can rise in us. And it's like, God, please take the dross away. Smelt me, you know, literally like get it out of me so that I can be a reflection of your image.
And sometimes it's just so subtle and all of a sudden it's there and you're like, where'd that come from?
Right.
That's not good.
I know. And being willing to ask that. And so it's really funny. Not funny, haha. No, funny. Oh, never mind. It's not even funny. There's nothing funny about it. So my hitting the tree, when I hit the tree and I got the injury, and it's the journey is still long. You know, it's a long, long time, and I'm still dealing with my feet. I have been amazed at how much God has showed me pride and vanity.
I was going to say.
Now, nobody else would think, okay, pride and vanity because your feet got injured. But pride and vanity, because I don't like looking weak. I don't like drawing attention to something. I don't know, so that's prideful, to where it's going to be drawn to that. And so I have this pride, and then vanity. I don't want to look, you know, bad, and that's just stupid. But it is what it is, because I can't walk without strangers knowing I'm walking funny. I get asked all the time, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. And so I was surprised. I would not have said my foot injury would have revealed pride and vanity. But God's like, okay, I see some dross. This one is important, Tara. We've got to get these out. These should not be in you. And so he's been doing that. And because of that, I'm seeing, I can't even speak it, where all of a sudden I've got just tears welling up. I cannot look at somebody in pain. In any form of pain, it honestly does not matter. It can be physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, social pain. Right now, and I have been this way since August, because I'm confessing that out of me, I am so super hypersensitive.
Compassionate.
To people with pain.
Yeah.
And so he's taking the dross out, and then he's rising up that which he wants to have in me, and which is what genuine mm-hmm. faith will do.
You know, you bring that up. I'm thinking about my daughter when she was going through her cancer. My daughter's a lovely, wonderful Christian. Compassion was not her number one. But I'll tell you what, going through that, her fruit came out with more compassion, just like you're talking, seeing somebody in pain. So
yeah, because it's that endurance, mm-hmm. and the suffering brings about the perfect work.
Absolutely.
And the perfect work is that so that we can reflect him. And so let's read. We're going to read the passage again. Taylor, I'm going to have you read. We're going to do the whole 12 verses because it's our last week on this section. So I want you to read James 1 through 12.
Okay. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him.
That's so beautiful. Okay, I really want to emphasize the patience that is asked of us. And so in verses 2, I know, because like, if you could see the face that just was on the screen, Becca's expression. Are you being tested in that?
Yeah.
That was funny. In verses 2 through 4, it emphasizes that, you know, we need to have that patience through it. But it ends then again in 12. It says, God blesses those who patiently endure. I'm like, are you kidding me, God? So David Guzik did an awesome explanation of this, and it was just beautiful, and I wanted us to have it. He says, patience comes from hupomone, which is not to be passive, not passive waiting, but it's actually active. It is an active endurance. So as the weight, as you are under the weight, you're not letting the weight weigh on you. You're actually pushing up to stand firm under the weight. And I'm like, that's amazing. So hupo means under, and meno means to stay, abide, or remain. And what does that make you think of? Stay, abide, and remain. Remain in me, that I may remain in you. Yeah, John 15, it's the whole what we're called to as Christians. And so it's a quality that enables us to finish a marathon. This isn't I'm going to sprint 50 yards and boop, I'm done. This is literally the ability to endure a race, a long, long marathon. And so he said that remaining under a heavy load and staying there instead of trying to escape. I'm like, I don't like you, David Guzik. No, not true.
Running.
I do. But no running. You have to wear the weight. And that literally you need to frame your mind, I'm called to endure. And so, I don't know, was it yesterday? One of my students, she was like, 13 more days. Classes that she's taking, and she's got to get through these 13 days because she's doing a co-op, and it's really hard, this intense program that she's in. And she's 13 more days. And I just looked at her and I go, anybody can endure 13 days. That's not too hard for God. Mm-hmm. 13 days is nothing. How many years you've been in school? 13 days is nothing. And so that is what I put in my mind, and I will repeat over and over in my mind. It's like, okay, if I am to be under this weight, then, you know, that's not too hard. Nothing's too hard for God. God can do all things. Nothing's impossible to him. And so then I will help myself measure out, like, what I'm to endure. And so we have a friend who has a missionary friend who has been abducted. And he's probably like now maybe 6 months. You know, we have no word yet. Mm-hmm. It's terrifying because you know it's not nice what's happening. And one of the things that I had read an article, and so this has been my prayer for this missionary, that instead of looking at long-term, the people that have survived when they've been abducted and they're under the abuse and stuff and the terrorists that are occurring, they're the ones that said, today.
Mm, one day at a time.
They do not. Mm-hmm. They do exactly what Jesus says. Take care of today. There's enough for today. Mm-hmm. Don't focus in on tomorrow. They don't, you know, there are times we need to have the big picture, but when we're in suffering, you focus in on the point of what you need. And so if it is today, maybe it is this 15-minute walk. For this 15 minutes, I can do this. And you, I will endure. I will push through. If it's, you know, and so you put the time frame that is the time frame that's the shortest that you can make it. And then it's like, that's not so hard. I can endure. Mm-hmm. And then as you do that, what you find is that becomes the faith walk. And your faith increases because, oh, wow, I did. I made it to that marker. Now I can do this marker. And they refer to that in financial stuff as snowballing. And so you got to figure out how to train yourself, how to snowball your endurance. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And put down shorter, smaller markers to help you endure through. It's powerful. It really makes a difference. And so he says, you frame your mind to endure. And then faith, he says, obviously is tested through the trials. It's not produced. And we have to remember that. The trial does not produce our faith. Our faith is produced because we've walked forward and endured. Does that make sense? So if trials do not produce faith, what does? Rebecca, I want you to open up. Read to us Romans 10:17. And this is so awesome. And that's why we're doing what we're doing here on the radio. We actually are trying to build people up with the Word of God. So Romans 10:17 says,
so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ.
Oh, wow. It's kind of nice. because the Word of God is Jesus. And so our faith actually is increased. It's as we're enduring, using the Word to help us. So if it's a long one, Jesus says, today's got enough for itself. So I'm going to endure today with the loyal love that I need today, and the weight and the burden of today of what I have to face. I'm not going to focus tomorrow. I'm going to take care of today. And I'm going to walk by faith and endure the burden and give God glory today. Wow. What do you guys think? You guys are quiet. Or am I just too talky? So I know the reality of this. This is like my life. I've walked this. So I'm going to have us read. Becca, I want you to do Romans 8:28. And Taylor, I'm going to have you do Genesis 50:19-20. And we're going to see how God plans in our difficult times, like God's responses, because we need to build the Word into it. If we know that hearing the Word is what builds our faith, we need to know what the Word has to say as we're enduring. So we're going to do with Genesis first. Let's do Genesis 19-20.
But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives.
Okay, what you need to know is Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, and he is now in Egypt, and there's a huge famine in the land, and they've come, and he's finally revealed to them that he's their brother, and now they're afraid because they know he knows what they did to him. Mm-hmm. And he is telling them, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. What you intended for evil, God will use for good. So if God did that for Joseph, will God do that for us?
Absolutely.
So as I am enduring or experiencing persecution, can I see that God can take that which was evil and use it for good? One of the things I say a lot is character and consistency, because it's that not being folded over, allowing that character of Christ in me, in you, to be where as I am walking and allowing my character and my consistency to be that's what people see. So as people may gossip, persecute, reject, lie, twist, distort, whatever, character and consistency over time, people will see, even if they're not a believer, they will begin to see the reflection of Christ. And we have to persevere through that, because what someone may have intended for evil, God will use for good, because he will show if we remain in our character and our consistency, allowing him to be the one that's reflected. Okay, let's do the Romans 8:28.
And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose.
I love this. We need Dr. Linder. So what is the promise in this one?
That all things are going to work together for good.
For who?
For,
it says,
for those who love God.
That's it. The promise is not there for those that don't love him.
That's right.
And that's kind of like a major revelation. Because I had a circumstance one time, and a person was quoting this verse, and the person wasn't a believer. And, like, for real. And I just looked at the person, I'm like, have you, like, do you even know? Like, they were, like, God's going to work it out for good. And I'm like, no, wait, it says for those who love God. And I go, because you reject God, that's not your promise.
No.
And so what was intended for evil could be used and continued being used against you until you get right with God. The purpose of the circumstances at that point is to get you into his fellowship and into in relationship with him. And the person was like, oh, wow, I could have had a V8. I guess I need Jesus. And, you know,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the person did come to know the Lord. But it was crazy in that the person knew the scripture, but they didn't know the Savior. And so they couldn't hold the promises of what was given to them. It wasn't theirs to keep. And so we have to watch that. All right, we're getting so close to being done, you guys. I'm like, how much time we have?
1 minute.
One minute. Okay, so as we've discussed this and we've looked at it, there's some things that we should be thinking about, okay? We need to ask ourselves, how can I consider it pure joy? We need to ask ourselves, how can I endure? We need to ask ourselves, what does that look like as I endure? And ask God to reveal to us what needs to be removed. And as I'm allowing him to remove what needs to be removed, then asking that I be a reflection of him. That's pretty incredible.
Because there's always something to be removed.
I know.
With me anyway, always.
We're all in the process of being made
we're
holy.
We're not perfect. Yep.
And Gary Thomas would say this, Francis Chan says it in his study, God is not in the business of making us happy. He's in the business of making us holy.
I like that.
And that's what this passage is all about. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. We're glad to have Becca and Taylor here today. God bless.